Praise the Lord. I tell you right now, this church has got some not only good singers in it, not only good talented singers in it, but praise God they love to sing. I hate to see people sing when they've been made to sing. They love to sing. I just try to stay out of the way, amen. And that's really harder to do than it sounds like. I have been in meetings where we have what's called 5-minute preaching. This ain't going to be one of them. I have actually preached a pretty good message in 5 minutes. I must confess, I've been in those before. You open up your good old Bible to Mark chapter 2. That's where we'll be preaching from today. I tell you, our country is in trouble. And the biggest problem in our country is we're out of touch with God.
Amen.
The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. From what I've observed, we're drawing nigh to everything but God.
Amen.
Me and Brother Donnie, yesterday we was out hunting arrowheads like a bunch of dummies, and we are. But I noticed one thing while I was out there in that plowed field, and my phone wasn't working. And it didn't work all day long. It didn't make my day, I'll tell you right now. I got so used to having a phone, you know. Can you hear me now? I got so used to having a phone, my wife's in bad health, and I was making like a roll call. I couldn't get a hold of her, so I tried to call the granddaughter, tried to call my son, I tried to call everybody. And no service. How many of y'all had phone trouble yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was rampant. I mean, everybody. It was a bad experience for me. I have to admit, it got me a little bit irritated. I got over it. But I didn't enjoy that no phone service yesterday. And good to have this many people here today. We're not used to having this many people here today, but we sure do. We're glad that you are here. We sure do enjoy having this many people here, I tell you right now. Amen.
Amen.
Oh yeah. Hell was time. Wasn't nobody here. Me and old brother Ed back there. And we just trying to keep the doors open to the church. And we weren't doing the Facebook live stream. It was just me and him, and we was just doing the audio, and we just carried on like there was 100 people here. Nobody never knew the difference, but it'd be kind of hard to put off what we put off on those days. Wasn't nobody here but me and him if we had the live stream. So now you can live stream this real good, Brother Ed. Make sure you get a good view of all the people here today. This is a normal day at Landmark Baptist Church, amen. All right. Hallelujah. Mark's gospel there. One of the reasons you have four gospels is it's kind of like me and Brother Donnie talk about something. He's got his opinion of it, and I've got mine. They're both the same, and yet they're different. Now, if I was to say, Miranda, what color you think my car is out there? She'd probably say it's red, Brother Eddie. And I'd say, well, you know, to me it's kind of burgundy, but it's still the same car and it's in the red family. Well, the four Gospels are like four opinions, four views. Luke's a doctor. I mean, he's going to give you a doctor's account. John is the Gospel. You know that Jesus loved him. He's called that disciple whom Jesus loved. You're going to find a lot of love there in John's Gospel. We're in Mark's Gospel. It's the littlest one of all four. And we're just going to read a very short passage here. We're just going to read two verses, Mark chapter 2. And it starts out, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. We'll stop our reading right there, and I'm preaching today on how to fill a church. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, we hold it dear. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that even in this God-forsaken day we're living in, Lord, your word has not changed. Lord, you've not changed. Lord, we're thankful, Father, to have the word of God today. Pray, Lord God, you'd honor your word and help us, Lord, to partake of it. We're getting ready to have a meal after this service, Lord. But I don't believe it'll compare with the meal that's going on in here. Yeah. Feed our hungry hearts today. Open our eyes with eyesight. Unstop our ears. Bring us to the understanding and the knowledge, Lord, of how much you love us, Lord. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you for whatever you do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, I'm preaching today on how to fill a church. I don't know if we need the message right now or not. The way things is looking, and it looked like we got it filled pretty good. Now, old Brother Eddie, I can preach without notes, but I've got me some notes here. And the reason I do is because I've got a few scriptures I want to bring together. My old mind don't work like it used to work. I used to preach up on the public square, and all I did was walk around holding up a Bible for about an hour. And I'd just preach a little here and preach a little there. Amen. But we're preaching on how to fill a church. We've learned recently how to empty one. Through pandemics and fear, restrictions, overreach, threats, and fines. A lot of that going on right now.
That's right.
And, I have to admit, when that thing hit, like I said, wasn't nobody here, me and old Brother Ed. And he sat over and acted like he was 100, and I sat up there and acted like I was Maze Jackson. We done the best we could, amen. But, we've learned how to empty one, but I think we need to be mindful of what it takes to fill one.
That's right.
And one of the reasons I'm saying this is, this has happened before. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, it mentions that King Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and he put Peter in prison along with 16 guards to guard him. So we've been persecuted as a church many times. This is nothing new. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "Think it not strange." So that's Peter. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which you'll have in this world." But Jesus said, "In this world we'd have tribulation." We're going to have troubles. This ain't home. They've been singing about home. I've been over thinking about home. And for all I know today, we may go home. Amen. But I'll tell you right now, don't drive your tent stakes too deep down here. Amen. This ain't home. Amen. But listen, Ruth, what's her name? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She died Friday.
Yeah.
And boy, you talk, that wasn't a ripple. That was a tsunami tidal wave. It's really going to affect our country. I think it may even affect our churches. It may even affect our election coming up. But we need to really pray about that. I hope this country understands, that we got to fill that seat. I hope we do. I hope we put someone qualified in there. I certainly don't want to get political here. But I was concerned about my phone not working the day after she passed away. She passed away on Friday.
Right.
And Saturday the phones quit working.
Yeah.
I'm not just concerned about that. I'm very concerned about that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention something right here. You'll get it on the slow train, but you will get it. There's a thing called color revolution going on right now in America.
Right.
It's going to affect you. It's going to affect me. It's going to affect this country. Keep that in your mind. And I want to get back to preaching now. Let me say, it takes Jesus to fill a church.
Amen.
I mean, buddy, wherever He is, He draws the crowd. Amen. And I want you to notice verse 1, it said He was in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the reason I'm saying that is because this is a house that got filled. Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in His name," He said, "Lo, I'm in the midst." We can have church out in the wilderness. We can have church in your house. We can have church at Miranda's house. But wherever we have church, we got to have Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus said in John 15, in verse 5, He said, "Without me you can do nothing." I've met a lot of people doing nothing. And they don't even realize they're doing nothing for the glory of God. It's all about them or him or her. I was telling Brother Donnie yesterday, there's a lot of good preachers out there that do them good to realize just how unimportant they are. Pluck some of them proud feathers out and they can get down there where God can use them. Amen.
Yeah.
Most of them
Amen.
Trying to exalt themselves instead of lift up Jesus. Jesus said, "Well, I'll be lifted up."
Right.
Hey, He said, "I'll go all men unto me." Wherever He is, amen.
Yes.
They'll fill the house. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 12, He talked about lifting Him up. That's what our effort needs to be. I like to see the Lord lifted up. John 12:32. He told Nicodemus, He said, "I must be lifted up." John chapter 3. Verse 14, I want him lifted up. I want him in the house. Hey, listen, you can't fill a church without Jesus. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
The songs need to be about him. They sung a hymn right after they had given thanks in Mark chapter 14, verse 26. And when the singing's about Jesus, I want you to know the Holy Spirit will show up. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. He said he'll exalt Jesus. He said he'll speak of me. He'll honor me. The Holy Spirit's whole job is to give glory to the Son of God. He won't speak of another. He won't even speak of himself. But boy, he sure likes when people speak about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. If you want to fill a church, I'll tell you first thing you need to do. You need to invite the Lord in.
Amen.
It's kind of a sad commentary. But in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord just got through speaking to a bunch of churches. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's on the outside, Sharon. He's wanting to know if he'd come in his own church.
Right.
Hey, heaven church without
Amen.
Jesus goes on today, believe it or not.
Yes, it does.
It don't need to, but it sure does.
Yeah, it does.
Me and Brother Ed was talking about some of these churches ain't going to make it through this pandemic. Let me step off this just a minute here and clarify what I just said. This whole effort right here, this pandemic, is of the spirit of Antichrist.
Right.
And there's some people that want the ground that some churches are on. They want the buildings that some churches own. And the reason they want them is because they don't get no revenue, Brother Denny, from these churches. They're tax exempt. They want to put something in there where they can get some money coming in.
Right.
And there's an all-out attack on churches right now, going on right now. Oh yeah. If you watch the news as much as Brother Eddie does, I'll tell you what, you'd be on more solid ground. I kind of keep up what's going on. But this effort against the church is a spirit of Antichrist. Not only does it hate the work of God, not only does it hate you if you know the Lord, but I'll tell you right now, he ain't done. He's just getting started.
Yes.
Amen. There's going to be a time people are going to have to run for their life. I'm telling you, this spirit of Antichrist, it's not going to go away. But I'll tell you, praise God, I'm glad Jesus said, hey, he said on this rock, he said I'll build my church, amen. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God.
Amen.
Praise God, we're more than conquerors through him. Paul said, thanks be unto God to give with us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm glad I got the victory. I don't know about y'all, but I like being on the winning side.
Amen.
Man, oh glory to God. I'm glad, praise God, he gives us victory. There's a devil down here.
That's right.
He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm glad, praise God, I'm on the winning side. It takes Jesus to fill a church.
Yeah.
And listen, it takes preaching to fill a church. Amen.
Right.
You'll notice over here in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and after that, John was put in prison. Who's John? He's a preacher.
Right.
He's the one come out of the wilderness preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. And I tell you what, buddy, he talked about being burnt with unquenchable fire. John was a preacher that preached about repentance. I want you to know the one that took his place when John got put in prison was the Lord Jesus. It said, and then Jesus came into Galilee preaching, Brother Mitchell, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And here's what he said. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Let me tell you something, what preaching will do, it'll help you repent.
Yeah.
Oh, Brother Eddie, I was pretty good when I went to church, amen. I thought I was just as good as you. You know, in our old mirror, we do look pretty good. Well, how about the mirror of God, amen?
Yeah, right.
Hey, Brother Ed, I saw myself in the mirror of God.
Right.
That day I come to Bethel Baptist Church as drunk as a skunk. And you know, at the bend of my little 8-year-old boy, his daddy went to church with him, Brother Eric. And you know what? I'm a pretty good-sized fella back then. I've lost a little. But anyway, to make a long story short, I went in that church. I wasn't really there for the right reason. I was there because a little 8-year-old boy opened up the bedroom of his drunk daddy and walked up to his drunk daddy and said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? I tell you, I wanted to tell him no, Sharon. Well, I have to admit, I could have told everybody no but him.
Yeah, that's
right. But then that little old lip was a-quivering, tears dripping off his cheeks. I've been in a lot of fights, but I've never been hit as hard as I got hit that Saturday, that Sunday morning. I bragged Saturday night about how my family was going to go to church Sunday, and I was going to go fishing, and I was going to get drunk, and I invited my cousin to go with me. I said, if you want to, you can come. If you don't, you know, to blank with you. I mean, I had a filthy mouth. Had a filthy mind. That's why I kept speaking like that. Anyway, I went to church that day, and the preacher got up there. Guess what he preached on? Every idle word that men speak, they shall give account of the day of judgment. I'm back there. Now, you talking about plowing down your road? I mean, I'm telling you right now, buddy. Hey, he was chisel plowing right where I was. And even though I was trying to hide from the Word of God, I realized something was wrong. My heart beat like a drum was up.
Yeah.
Hey, I got more of my boat rock, I'll tell you right now, buddy. I'm sitting there thinking, hey, you know, he's telling me everything you've ever done. I thought, my wife has told him everything I've ever done. She's had it. Hey, listen, I used to carpool with this guy. We rode together to work. We rode motorcycles together. I had a Honda and he had a top 650. Anyway, make a long story short, Brother Pappy, I got to thinking, who's he think he is calling me a sinner? I was going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door. That's the kind of man I was before I got saved. When it's all said and done, Sharon, I'm glad you're on the front row. I don't get picked on you very often. When it's all said and done, I had to have help getting out of the church. Amen. I mean, old brother Eddie might have strutted in, but I didn't strut out. I slid out. Amen.
Yeah.
Why didn't you get saved that day, brother Eddie? Same reason y'all ain't saved if you're lost today. See, I believe that lie of the devil that said you got plenty of time.
Uh-huh.
You can do it tomorrow.
Amen.
You know, tomorrow's only on the calendar of fools. And by the grace of God, I did get saved anyway. But only a fool would put off something as important as salvation.
Right.
Jesus
right.
said, seek ye first
right.
the kingdom
Amen.
Of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not second, not last, first.
Amen.
You know, get saved and then enjoy life.
Amen.
But without getting Amen. Saved, you can't enjoy life. Matter of fact, I thought I was enjoying life. I didn't realize I was dead in trespasses and sin, Sharon. I have to admit, I wish I could go through it again. I'd do it, amen. My pastor said I'd have to go somewhere else, but I'll tell you right now, if I could, I'd get saved again.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing it is, boy.
Right.
I tell you, that preacher got up there and he preached, and it takes preaching. Bible said that God chose the foolish to preach in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, to save them that believe. I might have went in there in unbelief. I might have went in there for all the wrong reasons. But I'll tell you what, when I walked out of that church that day, I was seeking a refuge for my soul.
Yeah.
I was trying to find out where the nearest place was I could find some help, amen.
Amen.
And I worked at R.R. Donnelly's. At that time, I worked there 32 years. And there was a man there at R.R. Donnelly's that always tried to talk to me about my soul, about the Lord. I love the man. We hung there heads together too, Brother Bunny. But I didn't really want to hear about Jesus. I was kind of like most people, you know, I was in the world, not the world, smelled like it, talked like it too.
Yeah.
I wasn't really interested in any kind of change, Brother Eric. But I was now. Oh yeah, I done got my tail softer good. Thank God for preaching. Boy, I love my pastor more than anything. I tell you right now, I thank God that God brought a lost drunk in the Bethel Baptist Church on that Sunday morning
yeah.
to hear that message that he
Amen.
Preached
Amen.
That I needed in order to get saved. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And now I'm really listening to this man now. I'm looking for Wendell Shaw in a factory that's got 10 acres unroofed, Brother Denny. And I'm asking people out there, where's Wendell? They said, we don't know, Eddie. We're busy. We don't know. We don't know. We got things to do. And I'm frantically going from person to person. Where's Wendell? Where's Wendell? We don't know, Eddie. We don't know. Finally, someone in effort to get rid of me asked him, said, I think he's in the foreman's office. And he was, Miranda. And I went in that foreman's office. Now, this is what I'm fixing to tell you. It sounds strange. But if you get good lost, it'll make sense.
Right.
I was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I went in that foreman's office, and that foreman, and Wendell Shaw was talking about printing. I opened the door of that foreman's office. I said, I need somebody to tell me how to get saved. I'm lost.
Amen.
going to hell. I don't know how to be saved. And so I thank God for men that can point a man in the right direction.
Right, right.
Man, I'm glad I didn't get pointed in the wrong direction. I got pointed in the right direction.
Amen.
That foreman had never really witnessed to me or put forth any effort. I will tell you this immediately, but he started quoting Scripture to me.
Yes.
I mean, he started quoting like Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Or Acts chapter 16, whosoever said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in all thy house. I want you to know, buddy, he was laying them out there. Now, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. And Wendell saw it wouldn't make a lot of difference in old Brother Eddie. I will say this much about it. He planted some seed, amen.
Amen.
Wendell, he told me, he said, Eddie, I want to leave right now. We walked outside that foreman's office, and people rubbing our shoulders on both sides between the foreman's office and the bathroom there. You know what Wendell told me, Brother Eric? He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie.
Amen.
He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you, Eddie. Boy, he made it simple, didn't he? You know, many have done harm in the simplicity of Christ. It's simple. If you get good and lost, you get good and saved. I promise you that. But I was already good and lost, and Brother, I didn't need no help with that. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He said, Eddie, Jesus just waiting for you to ask Him to save you.
Amen.
Bless you, Brother Mitchell. He gave me an illustration. Now, I remember a little 8-year-old boy got me in church.
Yeah, that's right.
And he said, Eddie, I'm going to give you an illustration of how simple this is. He said, if your little boy done something wrong, and came to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? And I said, well, I forgive him. He said, it's the same way with God. He said, just go tell him you're sorry. Ask him to forgive him. Hey, I'll just tell y'all right now, I couldn't wait to get home. It's one that didn't do it right there in the hall. But I drove home like a man. I drove home like a rent. I got right there, baby. And I went back in our back bedroom, 9000 Ebony Road. I call upon Him and Trish Mercy. All that call upon Him.
Amen. Bless you.
Woo! I call upon Him that said, He that cometh unto me, I will no wise turn away. Lord, I will find grace. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I've never done that by my bedside. I've never read the Bible. I've never prayed on that little old child prayer. Me and Mama pray if I went to bed every night. And I've never done that at the bedside there, and here's what I prayed. I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I'd ask you to forgive me my sins, you'd save my soul.
Amen.
Star, I just want you to know when I prayed that little prayer, I said, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm asking right now if you'd save me.
Amen.
Man, I want you to know. Somebody said, how do you know you got saved? All my guilt left. All my condemnation left immediately. And the peace of God that passeth understanding flooded my soul. And the joy unspeakable went in my heart so madly and so wonderfully. I had to go look in the mirror and I had to admit there wasn't no halo. The horns were still there. But listen, it was different on the inside. And I want you to know it's most wonderful thing I know is to be saved and saved well with my soul.
Yes.
I want you to know it took preaching, amen.
Yeah. Right.
I got pinned to the ground. I'll tell you right now, there wasn't no way of escape from me. God knows all about preaching. Preachers are just men. But I want you to know when a man's got God's hand on him, he can deliver the message to God. I was telling Brother Donnie, I have no idea everything I'm going to say. I've got an idea of a few things I'm going to say, but God always fills in the blanks.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I didn't know I was going to give that testimony. That just kind of sprung out. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to know it took preaching to get a lost man named Eddie Wade saved. Amen.
Yeah.
And thank God there's got to be preaching in the house of God. Amen. Hey, I went to a church one time and it wrote on here, this another one, and just sprang forth. I went to church one time, and man, there's people speaking in tongues. They jumping over pews. And I have to admit, God was so far away from that place that I had to open up my Bible to feel the presence of God.
Yeah. Amen.
First Kings chapter 19 talks about Elisha being in the cave And he came forth out of that cave, fire fell, God wasn't in it. Rocks rent, God wasn't in it. Wind come through, God wasn't in it. Well, I'm telling you this. When you get good and saved, you can tell whether God's in something or not.
Amen.
I like that. I like that spirit bearing witness, don't you, Brenda?
Amen.
Where you know it's of the Lord. Amen.
Right.
I mean, I might not have known before, but I know now whether something's of God or not.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I've been adopted into His family. I recognize the letters of God. I recognize the songs of God. I recognize the Spirit of God. But oh, listen, I was in that church and Jesus, He wasn't there. Hey, there was a lot of flesh there. There was a lot of talent there. Well, won't you know when Jesus shows up, buddy, everything steps aside. Amen. Hey, listen, that message of John preached, repent, repent. And Jesus preached, repent ye and believe the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Mark tells us about Jesus preaching repentance. Brother Eddie preaches repentance. Amen. Because the Bible said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and back, verse 3 and verse 5, except you repent, you're going to perish. You're not going to heaven.
That's right.
What's repent mean, Brother Eddie? It means, hey, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I want to be forgiven.
Amen.
I want to be saved. If you don't repent, I can promise you this. You ain't going to make it.
Amen.
Right. The Bible said the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And listen, He's coming after His. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. He gave a high dollar for me. But he wanted to do it. It was His joy to buy me back from sin. Hey, now I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to know, praise God, I'm not in that company no more. I'm saved now. But listen, if you've never repented, you've never been saved. I'm not trying to rock your boat. I'm just telling you the truth. Except you repent, Jesus said you will all likewise perish. John come out of the wilderness preaching repentance. Jesus took his place preaching repentance. Old Brother Eddie preaches repentance. And if a preacher knows anything at all, he'll tell you you need to repent. Preaching will help you repent. Amen. Preaching will help you believe that you need to repent. Amen. Preaching will help you hear the truth. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And listen, preaching will open your eyes. In Acts chapter 26 verse number 18, Jesus told Paul to go open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they might have inheritance in Him. Amen. I'm telling you right now, it took preaching to get old Brother Eddie saved. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we've got preachers preaching today. I don't believe they've ever been saved. I've listened to some of them. And I ain't the judge. Man, I'll tell you, thank God for the righteous judge. But I will tell you this, there is going to be a judgment. Every one of us is going to stand before God. Every one of us is going to give an account.
Yeah, we are.
And I'm glad, praise God. I just pleaded guilty and got my case thrown out of court. Amen.
Amen.
I just said right now, I just done took care of it. Amen. I just said I'm as guilty can be. And hey, I got abundantly pardoned. And when it comes to standing before the Lord and being just, He said, get on out of here. Your case done been thrown out. Amen. It's on the blood, glory to God.
That's right.
But oh, listen, preaching will open your eyes. And preaching will help you get saved. In Acts chapter 8, he's talking about the Spirit told Philip to go down there and join himself with this chariot. And in that chariot, there's an Ethiopian eunuch of great authority under the Queen Candace. And he got all the money and everything. He's just come from Jerusalem. He got evidently got him a book there. And he's reading Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip comes alongside. And he says, understandest what thou readest? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus.
Yeah.
If you got the right Bible, it's got verse 37 in it.
That's right.
The conversation I'm talking about starts at verse 35. It ends about verse 38. But if you got a Bible that don't have verse 37 in it, use that thing like firewood, amen. I'll just tell you right now, that's that never intended version, amen. But if you got the right Bible, verse number 37 in it, verse number 37, well, let me back up a little bit. He preached unto him Jesus, and then he opened the eunuch and said, behold, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip kind of called his hand, and he said, if you believe on Jesus, you can. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they stopped the chair, and he went down there and baptized him, and the Spirit called away Philip. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, Tammy. I've been rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we walk together in the hallelujah way since He gave me this heart of love. I'm not a singer by no means, but every now and then I spit a song out a little bit, amen. Hey, listen, it'll help you get saved, amen. Let me say this, to fill a church, it takes Jesus. To fill a church, it takes preaching. Here's my most important point of the whole message. To fill a church, Sue, it takes you.
Amen.
See, if you ain't here, your seat's empty.
Yeah.
But if you're here,
yeah.
Sharon's here, Jerry's here, Danny's here, Joanne's here. That's how you fill a church.
That's right.
One at a time.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
Best way to fill a church, Star, is for you to be here.
Right.
She brought somebody with her.
Yeah, she did.
Sister Sarah back there, she said, Brother Eddie, she said, I'm bringing a bunch.
I said, bring one.
That's how you fill a church.
Yeah.
You just bring them. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, amen. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll start having chicken every Sunday. That's a good crowd like this. Maybe we'll start having chicken every Sunday. Hallelujah. But the best way to fill the church is you be here.
Right.
I know some of y'all can't be here. You live far away. We certainly understand that. But you need to be somewhere.
Amen.
You know, John, he said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, he couldn't be in church because he's exiled for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. But it didn't stop him getting a blessing. Amen. In Revelation chapter number 1. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice as many waters. He said, I turned to see the voice, and he saw Jesus, and he fell down as a dead man. It wasn't that one they crucified. This was a reigning king that he saw when he turned around. Amen. It's going to be quite a sight to see Him. Amen. We're going to see Him in His glory. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some. A lot of people leave this part out. Now, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, this means you need to be in church. You need to come. You need to be there. But that next part of that verse says, but exhorting one another.
Yeah.
What that means is I'm encouraged when you come. I hope I'm encouraging you when I come. I can't imagine you coming to church and the preacher not show up. And me and Brother Ed, we sure do put forth a lot of effort to be here.
Yeah.
We probably work harder than anybody. Yeah. But can you imagine coming to church and Brother Ed wasn't here and Brother Eddie wasn't here and you said, I thought we was having church today. Well, I'll tell you right now, not only do we not need to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. But we need to exhort one another. That good singing, I don't know about y'all, but that stirred me up. Peter said, I think it meant, brethren, while I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up. I like a good stirring every now and then. I don't like being stale. Sometimes you coming is all I need, amen. To stir me up a little bit,
amen.
Man, I don't know about y'all, but some things are better stirred. You ever go and get a coffee, you didn't stir it up? You say, boy, that whole lot better if I stirred it, amen. I mean, everybody does something to the bottom. And Don, he brought some tea today with him, and I made tea before and didn't stir it up. It wasn't real sweet till I stirred it up. But every day we need to be stirred up, amen. The best way to fill a church is usually even better than that, Brother Dan's going to bring somebody with us. Man, I'm seeing faces today that I hadn't seen before. You ain't seen my face before. I wouldn't wish that on nobody. But it's good to see you in the house of God today, amen. I know some of you can't come back. We certainly understand that. We certainly honor that. But listen, if it's where you can, we want you to come back, amen. Hey, we want you. you get in on the blessing? Amen. Who won't you get in on the benefits of knowing Him? Hey, being a servant's part, Jesus is.
Amen. Amen.
Oh my. Like I said, this is the most important part of all. We're missed when we're not here. We ask, what happened? Where's so-and-so? Karen, she wanted to be here this morning.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, bless his heart, I appreciate him so much. He took that little old recording thing back there, and they made a little recording of Karen there at the house, so she kind of got in on it. As a matter of fact, she's the first one here. That's the first thing they're going to see when they bring it up, ain't Brother Ed?
Yeah.
Yes, she's the first one, amen. Hey, she didn't miss out on nothing. She's getting to watch it right now if she feels like it, amen. But oh, listen, do your part. And by doing your part, you'll fill the church. Hey, listen, we'll add to it if it's needed. I'm pawing at the gate right now to go out here and mark a spot off.
Yeah.
We're going to add an auditorium out there. But listen, I don't want to get ahead of God. The Bible says, run the race with patience. Hey, it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. It says, wait, I say, on the Lord. That's Brother Donnie's favorite verse.
Amen. Yeah.
Psalms 27, verse 14. Yeah, my answer to you is bring someone with you when you come. And God says for us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come, that His house may be filled, in Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And Jonathan told David he wasn't king yet, but he'd been anointed king, but he had took the place as king. But Jonathan told David, he said, tomorrow's the full moon. And he said, your seat will be empty and you'll be missed.
Yeah.
How true that is. I've been saved for 32 years. I was 34 years old when I got saved. I'm kind of hoping the Lord let me live long enough. I like at least balance the books, Brother Mark. I like to live more for Him than I did for myself and the world and the devil. But whether He does or whether He don't, I'm just glad I'm ready. Like they sung up, I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready to make my flight. I'm ready to get out of here. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm going all the way, not part of the way. And like Brother Jerry says, Carolyn, son, when I get home, amen, I'll be known. Hey, I want you to know I've been saved 32 years. And if the Lord be willing, and I end up getting saved and live for the Lord as long as I was. What am I trying to spit out? I was 34 years old when I got saved. It works out where I can say I was saved for 34 years. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
But even if not, praise God, I'm saved. Amen. I don't know about you today, but I do know this. If you're not saved here today, I've sat where you're sitting. I've done that. Yeah. I know what it's like to sit there and you're missing out on what everybody else is just soaking up.
Yeah.
I know what it's like. You're sitting there saying, wonder what that's all about. You know, you're kind of in darkness. You haven't come to light yet. I know what that's like to sit there and say, you know, He's kind of saying something that's true in my life. Let me just say this. There's no better day than right now.
That's right.
Amen.
No better time than right now to get in the family of God. In this age of uncertainty, when your bank account can be empty before the sun goes down tonight, when your cell phone may not work again when you pick it up. Remember that word I said about color revolution, because you're not going to get around that. It's already here. But when you start noticing your phone not working, you know how they take a country over? That's the first thing they do.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they do, brother. They cut the communication off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you can't communicate. You know them planes that run into them twin towers, that one run into the Pentagon. I was trying to spit that out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them people didn't know what was going on.
Right.
But on one of them, I think they got a cell phone call and they told them what was going on, and they brought that plane down before it reached up there where the White House was in Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, unless we know what's going on, how are we going to know how to react? How are we going to know what to do? Well, part of that color revolution is cut communication off. In this age of uncertainty, I'll tell you right now, buddy, I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't hesitate. I'd hand my baby to somebody who needs to be. I'd say, hey, I need to get up there. I want somebody help me. I want to get saved.
Yeah.
And if y'all are saved today, woo! Glory to God. Hey, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, the devil, not only is he not no threat to me, but death ain't no threat to me. Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said, believest thou this? Hey, I'll tell you right now, I went through 34 years of wondering, where else going to die? Where else going to die? How else going to die? I ain't thought about it for 32 years because I couldn't die. If I wanted to, you got eternal life.
Right.
Man, that's a blessing if you ever get it. It hung over my head. But if you're here today, you're not saved. You're here today, maybe God got your heart beating like a jungle drum. Maybe you're wondering if you need to do something. I just got one thing to say. That ain't Brother Eddie doing that.
No.
Oh, Brother Eddie, I couldn't rock your boat if I wanted to, but if I do rock your boat, there's something wrong. You might blame me for it, but it ain't really me. That's God doing that.
Amen.
I remember when he dealt with my heart. I looked around and see if anybody's looking.
Mm-hmm.
Man, my heart back there, I'm being beat like a jungle drum. I'm holding on like I'm in a roller coaster. You know what I mean? Hold on that pew. I will tell you this. I'm glad God did rock my boat.
Amen.
I'm glad I did give up, Brother James. I'm glad I did give up my sinful life and got eternal life. It was a good trade, Brother
Amen.
Dean.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good trade. Best trade I ever made. I'm all down trading, buying stuff. That's the best trade I ever made for my life. Amen. That's what I said. I'd do it again if I could. But maybe you're here today and you got something that just ain't right. Won't you make it right before we go out there and eat today? I'd encourage you. I compel you to do that. Father, we pray you bless, Father, this invitation, Lord. I'm trying to seek, Lord, your counsel here. I pray you bless this invitation, Father. We're not used to looking at this many faces before us, Lord. I know my congregation, Lord. I know I'm good. But Lord, a lot of these people that are here today, we're thankful to have them, but I don't know their standing with God. Lord, you know all things. You're greater than our heart. And I pray, God, today, if there's one here today that's in the valley of decision, I pray your sweet Holy Spirit will lead them and guide them in the right direction. And Lord, if they want to get saved today, I'd be glad to help them. And Father, we ask all these things. Your blessed will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand if you're able. And get Brother Jerry, please, and Sister Sharon, please. Maybe a song of invitation. Maybe a couple verses. I usually only ask them to sing one because I know, like I said, everybody in my congregation is saved. Man, if you sit underneath the kind of preaching goes on over here, I guarantee you saved. But maybe today you got some things you're questioning right now. Maybe today there's something in your mind you can't shake it. By now would be a good time to get it fixed.
Number 203 in the blue book.